One of my all-time favorite quotes is also a personal mantra for me, and it's from Clint Eastwood. He says, sometimes a man's got to know his limitations. And I just...
You sure Shania Twain didn't say that?
I don't think Shania said it, but I will look it up after.
Okay. Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello. And this is
a podcast that I have. And I also have a co-host.
Kind of confused about where to jump in. Okay, cool. I'm just going to go here. Yeah, so hi, my name's Steve Green, and I'm also here. I'm a co-host.
Yeah, okay, so moving on. We have an episode for you today where we are taking your questions that you submitted to us via our email podcast@nikki.limo. That's podcast@nikki.limo. We haven't done one of these episodes in a while, so if it's your first time joining in on an Ask Us Anything, first of all...
Welcome.
Second of all,
welcome to both of you who are, maybe there's multiple people in the room. Just want to say welcome to both.
Again, I have a co-host on this podcast. Yeah. We are not experts. Okay. So disclaimer, don't sue us for these answers, but you came to us. Okay. So we're going to give you advice to the top of our knowledge.
Please no sue.
Don't
Please
sue us.
No sue.
You can't. We put a disclaimer. I think that's how the law works.
Not like this. Like the
We are not liable.
Not like this.
What is that?
It's a Matrix quote.
Oh. He says that?
No, it's a girl at the end of the movie.
Oh, she says that?
The white coat chick.
I don't remember.
Remember that?
No, I blocked it out of my memory. I took the blue pill after the Matrix.
Oh, that's true. You did. You wanted to go back.
I want to go back. I don't
like
it.
Well, everyone should have taken the blue pill after the sequels, but that's fine.
That's too late. You made your choice.
Yeah, I remember them all.
All right. So we are jumping in. Oh, also, if you're part of our Patreon, patreon.com/sticky, you will get first dibs on your questions getting answered. I don't read these questions ahead of time, so these are all surprises to us, and I am not liable for any of the contents of these emails. If anything, it's embarrassing for you if you send something dumb.
By the way, this sounds like we've been through legal hell.
I know.
We haven't, for the record thing, but so far, fingers crossed.
No, I just don't want anyone to, like, you
I
know.
Love it. I love it.
Take something we said out of skew it a little bit.
Again?
And then maybe, like, hurt themselves. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything can happen. I'm not responsible.
So
these
true.
Are just words I'm saying. These are vocal frequencies coming out of my body.
I'm in the United States. Thank you.
Financial question for Nikki. Sorry, Iceman. And compliments.
Oh.
First of all, I know you're starved for compliments. So I will say, I love you, Nikki and Steve. Your podcast is brilliant. You guys are serious couple goals. You make me laugh. And I just love listening. Aw,
we love you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you so much. Also, if you're new listening, you have to pay us
Goddess
lots of compliments.
Bless.
We have very low self-esteem, and we need lots of compliments to fuel the show.
I believe that God is a woman, and I don't say this to pander to women who write in. I just want to say Goddess bless.
It's fact. It's science. Test it.
Mm-hmm.
My question is pretty simple and short. You cats, as Steve would say, have mentioned before that Nikki is in charge of most of the financial decisions. My boyfriend and I, we live together, are similar where I pay the bills and manage the budget since he is not good at all with money. Sometimes I feel like he should have more responsibility with it, and I encourage him to plan, like, how much he makes, how much he has to pay in bills, what can he put into savings, but he doesn't seem to get it. I'm curious about your, Nikki, sorry, not Steve, opinions and decisions with being the financial planner. And is it okay to just take it all on without having him be a major part in it? Should he take more responsibility? Side note, until we are married, we aren't joining our bank accounts. What he makes is on him, and what I make and my savings are on me. We just split bills 50-50, and I find I'm 99% in charge. Is it okay? Hopefully that question makes sense. Again, I love you guys so much. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, I just want to clarify.
Yes, go ahead.
Nikki does not make all of the financial decisions. This afternoon, I was at a 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
I purchased two Slim Jims. I was feeling good about it,
mm-hmm,
myself. I got the big one with the Tabasco flavored Slim Jim.
You got the big one?
I did.
How much was that?
It was $4. Is that okay?
You didn't ask me.
I'm sorry. I'm a liar. I messed up, and this is the last time that I'm going to do that.
Okay, thank you. That's how you handle it, everyone. I just hear them
Thank
clapping.
You.
I hear
you.
Them clapping.
Thank you.
No, so first of all, when it comes to financial decisions, we make them together. I do manage the finances. Like, we do have joint bank account, but I did that before we joined our bank accounts too. It was actually really confusing when we joined them.
Super
but
weird.
Now I have a better system. But yeah, so I manage it. So I know how much is coming in, how much is going out, how much we have that's like padding, how much is in savings, retirement accounts, etc. And then when it comes to the financial decisions, that's a joint decision. So for us, it's like, okay, we have this much in our retirement. What do we want to do with it?
Coinbase, all Coinbase stock. Thank you.
Okay, whatever. So he has a separate crypto account and he manages like the crypto investment. So he'll manage that investment. But the finances, as far as budgeting, as far as money in, money out, I oversee all of that. But I will say, before we were married, I mean, it wasn't always just like, okay, Nikki's doing everything with all of the money that's coming in and all of the money that's going out. That was like, as a discussion that you have to have with your partner. You have to know what each other's goals are. So like, if he wants you to help him achieve some financial goals, like help him set aside money in savings from what he's making. If he wants you to handle all that, then he needs to tell you, like, confirm directly, like, you take my money and put it somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And then you're free to manage it as you would your own money. So you're just managing two accounts, basically, but you're managing his and you're managing yours, and you're doing the, you know, correct financial things that you should be doing when you're managing money. If he's just like, hey, I'll give you however much money you tell me to give you for the paying the bills, but the rest that's left over, it's up to me. I don't want you to touch my money. You know, that's mine. And because it sounded like you said, what's mine is mine, what's his is his. So that doesn't, to me, sound like a group money pile situation to me. It sounds like you split the bills with me. Make sure you have enough money for the bills and everything left over. Well, that's on you, buddy. And that can get tricky down the road when you get married, because if you do decide to get married and you do decide to join bank accounts, you will be responsible for his debt as well. So you should see a long-term future with this person in an institutionalized way, such as marriage, I think that it's a long discussion or multiple discussions worth having of what your, as a couple's financial goals are.
Do you remember what our discussion was about this?
Yeah, it was about...
It was pretty kismet the whole time.
Yeah.
It was pretty much like, hey, I don't really spend money. I only want to buy crypto. And you're like, cool,
I want to save for a house
and do, yeah, you had like certain goals about that. And I was like, perfect. I agree with that.
And I was like, I have a system.
Which is brilliant, by the way, because her dad's a CPA. So he taught her, he raised her to like put away a certain amount of money every time she got paid.
He didn't teach me that, but.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. But he did teach me about debt and how to stay out of it. But yeah, I learned a lot from books, from like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and like a lot of other financial books. But yeah, my mom and dad are both in finance. So along the way, I'm sure they dropped a couple of things. But yeah, it was some trial and error involved for sure. But so I could empathize with people that don't know exactly how to manage their money, which is why we did several episodes on money management on this show, because I totally get it. Why? Like, it's something they don't tell you, like they don't teach it to you in school. So when we first got together, you know, Steve had just switched from being an employee to an independent contractor, where they don't withhold your taxes as an independent contractor. And if you're used to just being an employee, you're not used to like having a big tax bill at the end of the year because it's been withheld from you this whole time. But as an independent contractor, there's a big tax bill, and he was not ready for it.
No.
And so we were just basically like, how can we plan to make sure that doesn't happen again so that there's no surprises, and also have enough like savings left over and able to plan for our future and any sort of treats that we want
to
do.
And like, huge shout out to my tax guy, Ben Limo.
Yeah.
Who navigated me through that nightmare. I was able to take care of it within like 6 months.
Yeah.
It was great. Once you have somebody who knows
what they're doing,
ins and outs of the tax code and shit, and they're just like, here's what you got to do. I was just like, oh my God, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And it was great. So I was able to pay it off like really in no time. It was so smooth and easy. Thankfully, I had somebody in my life like your father.
Yeah.
Just helped me see the light.
That was awesome. Because
I was just scared of all my mail.
Yeah.
For a while. And I was like, well, I hope I don't get mail tomorrow. That'd be bad because it's a Friday. That's a bad day to get mail.
How terrible.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's the best.
Dude.
It's funny, too, because I had the means to take care of it, but I just didn't know. I felt like I didn't know how I was going to figure it all out.
Yeah.
It's very daunting.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a huge tax bill.
But now, you know, I'm much older now. I was like 23 years old or 24 years old then.
Yeah.
So life's different now. But yeah.
So if you do decide to, like, if he's like, hey, take over for everything, then even though you don't have a joint bank account, I would just, you personally, track how much money he's making, how much money you're making, and treat it like it's one group sum. Yeah. And then divide up like the bills that you have to pay and how much would be left over for savings, and then set aside that amount rather than, you know, separately.
Yeah. You know. And thankfully, I had a good savings account because I saw enough YouTubers walk into Maker Studios crying because they're like,
yeah,
what the fuck is I have to pay like individual taxes. And like, I saw that 1099. Enough where I was like, I'm just going to save this shit. I don't know what the fuck's going on, there, but I'm going to save this shit.
Yeah. I recommend that if you're an independent contractor to save like 50% of your income, 35% of that is going to taxes. The 15% left over is your savings. So 50%. Save 50%. If you can't afford to save 50%, you're going to get really screwed. So maybe have a side hustle. I don't know. This is not financial advice.
But you can also talk to your partner about their financial habits. You can see them too. Like, you'll just see your partner's financial habits.
Yeah.
Like, I see yours, you see mine. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's one big conversation. Yeah. Or several different ones, but, you know, get on the same page.
Exactly.
And then, you know, if you're an employee, then I recommend setting aside at least 10% of your income, because that's already after taxes. Mm-hmm. All right. Hopefully that helps. Finances are tricky, but I'm glad that you guys are getting it together. And it's cool that you guys are working on a system. So good luck.
Good luck.
All right. Next, we have, okay, this one says, podcast question, concept of a partner versus love. Hi, Nikki and Steve. Hope you guys pick my question. I love you guys. I love your humor. Oh, humor is spelled Britishly.
Oh.
So I'm guessing this is a UK, mate.
Hey, thanks, you limey fuck.
Your dynamic would appreciate some, would appreciate some expert advice on my relationship. Well, we are experts.
Well, it's been a minute. All right, let's go.
Okay. I want to know if my boyfriend is holding on to the concept of a partner slash companionship or if he actually loves me. Let me explain my confusion. We've been friends for 5 years, always plenty of things to talk about as if we never ran out of topics. So I've been with him at different stages of his life throughout the years. 3 years ago, he ended a 4-year relationship and immediately dated a rebound for about 7 months. He described this girl as quote unquote perfect by the book, i.e. friendly, patient, caring, smart, etc. But it didn't work out because he simply couldn't feel the connection even though she was quote unquote perfect. He started doubting his ability to maintain a relationship or even love anybody. He's in his 30s and he wanted to get things right in his life. Initially, as a friend, I felt he hasn't recovered from his previous relationships and he was very needy. He enjoyed the concept of a partner and didn't like to be alone. Example, sleeping with someone's presence calmed him more than being alone in the dark. So even when we were friends, he would text me if he struggled to sleep or felt upset about anything. I used to joke about how he should just grab some random off Tinder and have some company, but he refused and insisted on being single because he wasn't ready to commit to anyone. I didn't know how many girls he texted during his sleepless nights or why he didn't stay with the rebound, but I felt like I was his life buoy for at least 1.5 years when he's single.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. One day during our daily chats, the stars somehow magically aligned and we both decided to blurb out how much we wanted each other as a romantic partner. That was how we started dating. It was October 2020, and for the first 5 months at least, he was moving very slowly in the relationship and very reluctant to commit to things like road trips, meeting each other's friends, or talking about our future. He even said to wait a couple of months until we have sex. He suffered from severe anxiety, lots of self-doubt, self-blame. To him, the concept of future was a huge anxiety trigger, and he would say, not ready for, to almost every single one of my requests.
Jesus, you got a rescue.
Yeah. He felt his career and financial status were not as well established as he would like. He did not want to buy me gifts because he worried those objects would become bad memories for me if we didn't work out.
My Lord.
Yeah, he's already planning for your breakup. He wanted to make sure we could communicate through tough times instead of relying on makeup sex. Basically, he wanted to make sure we could definitely work long term like a married couple before any gifts, sex, external factors came into play. I told him to stop worrying and just enjoy and love me back. We argued, things weren't stable, and we both felt hurt. I wanted to break up because I felt he wasn't matching my expectations, and he would apologize and then explain he wanted me, as his serious long-term partner, to be understanding of his anxiety and be patient. I'm going to turn 30 soon, but I took the risk of staying with him on zero future commitments. We took one day at a time, and we tried to meet each other's pace in the relationship, and our first sex was after 6 months of dating. Holy yay! I spent months trying to support him, explaining things like, honey, just because your ex hated your snoring doesn't mean you stay up all night thinking I'm gonna kick your ass if you make a noise. He's constantly on high alert and it was exhausting for me as a partner. But yeah. I loved him so much that I put up with his short temper and helped him help himself become a better person for his own sake. Fast forward another 5 months later, which is now, we no longer hide any feelings from each other. We are 100% open about our past, present, and future. We have no trouble talking about trips, moving in, kids, marriage, etc. He's become 180 degrees different from what he was 10 months ago. He said he was extremely happy with our growth, but if I'm being completely honest, I still feel hurt from the months of one-sided emotional support I gave him when he was unready and a hot mess. I'm starting to wonder if he's just changing his behavior now because he's scared of losing a partner slash companion, or if he's actually grown to love me. From your super fan. Wow, that's a lot, but I'm sure there are some people that can relate to this. I have my thoughts. What do you think?
Okay, I would give, I mean, you gave it this much time. You have to give the benefit of the doubt to this person that you basically raised to be your perfect partner.
Yeah.
And I get the mistrust too, because, you know, they're a shelter animal and you got bit a couple times.
There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score, and what sounds like he's having is maybe like anxiety and a little bit of, I'm not a doctor, so, but a little bit of PTSD, you know? It's like something happened that was traumatic for him in a previous relationship, or maybe not even relationship oriented, but just like something traumatic happened and stayed in his body. So there's a book called The Body Keeps the Score, and so basically, your body is what holds on to that trauma. If you didn't process those feelings because either you didn't feel safe, or you just didn't know how to process it, or you didn't have coping mechanisms, or, you know, a laundry list of reasons why you wouldn't process those feelings in society, it's some shit they don't tell you. You know, that's why we go to therapists now, because that's how we can learn and get the tools to process those repressed emotions. And for men, it's even harder with the way that society like raises our men. So it's coming around, you know, a lot of men are opening up a lot more and going through and processing their feelings, but it takes a little bit of time for those feelings to come out. And it sounds like you were 100% his life buoy, as you said, but when you guys got together, you kind of knew that about him, and he trusted you, and you were patient with him, and you were awesome, and he was able to process those emotions with you, and it caused some hard times and it was rough, but you guys got through it, it sounds. And now maybe you feel a little bit of resentment, but maybe that's an arrow that you need to pull out.
Yes. God, yes.
With him. It's and the sooner the better.
Yes.
Because
you're feeling it, so it's time to address it.
Yeah. But what you need to understand is he trusted you enough to share those things with you and to heal, to heal with you.
Yeah.
And you did help heal him. And now he is the person that you wanted him to be all along. And you knew that that was in there. You had to have, or like you wouldn't have gotten together.
That investment in, yeah.
Right. And so now your investment is coming to fruition and it's there. It's a feast for both of you. It's like the harvest has come. And granted, I don't know him personally. So do I know for a fact that it's authentic, or if he's just putting on an act to please you so you don't break up with him? No, I don't know. But it sounds like if he's been this way for the past 5 months already, that's a hard act to do for 5 months.
It's a strange suspicion to have. That's why I wish I knew more, because yeah, it's a strange thing to wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are they just putting on an act for X reason? Like, that's a pretty crazy accusation.
Yeah, maybe if there was an external factor, like you're paying his bills or you're...
If there's something like that, then it's different. But right now I got nothing. So I'm like, why would you think that?
Yeah.
Maybe we're missing something.
Or I guess maybe she feels like he just wants to have his life together so badly that he'll fake it to just have it.
But if he's that non-committal, now he's Mr. Committed.
Yeah, I think he wouldn't even be comfortable having those conversations if he was still in that headspace.
He was clearly not sure about you for a while, and then now he is.
And now he 100% trusts you, and it sounds like that's why he's like, yeah, this could work. This is my chick. Like, you guys almost broke up and you came back from it. And I think that solidified it for him that, like, you guys made it through the rough patch. We went through similar things.
We know
you
about
know.
That trauma where you're blaming your partner for your ex.
Yeah,
we both went through that,
because you have that, it's in your body still. And even if you don't want to project that on your partner, sometimes you can't help it, and it just is your old shit coming out. And so until that is processed and healed, then it'll just keep coming out. And so
his ex fucked him up and you helped him untangle the wires,
and now you get to have the reward of a loving relationship, it sounds like.
We have no reason not to trust it until you tell us something that makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. If there's like some sort of suspicion, like wandering eyes, or he's taking advantage of you somehow.
Right.
But if you genuinely love him, and I think right. that's a question you have to ask yourself, is do you love him, or did you just like being the one that saves somebody? Like right. sometimes people really it's like true. Being the helper, you know, being the one that heals the wounded. And then once they're healed, it's like you feel almost like you have no purpose. They're able to walk and talk on their own now. And it's like, oh no, like maybe they don't need me anymore, you right. know, maybe. And so I don't know if that's you, but some people can feel that way if they're used to one person always needing them. And then now the person is healthy and self-reliant and you're like, oh shit, are they going to leave me because they don't need me now?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would ask yourself some of those questions see if that rings any truth for you. But if not, like just have the normal conversation of like, hey, you know, like maybe I need some extra love for those times before, or I don't really know. Whatever your needs are, figure out what they are with you first and then voice them to your partner. Because these feelings are coming from some sort of need that's being unmet.
Yeah, agreed.
So there you go.
Good luck.
Hope that helps. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. One more relationship question before we go on a break. This one is just titled Relationship Question.
Nice.
So I'm assuming it's a relationship question. Hey, Nikki and Steve, I'm in a relationship with my now fiance for almost 4 years. I really do love him. He is my very first boyfriend and we are very happy together. Before him, I had been in a friends with benefits situation with a boy for many, many years. It ended because I went abroad for half a year. After I came back, he had a girlfriend. After I came back, our friend group hung out when we got drunk and I slept we slept next to each other and we made out. I didn't ask about his girlfriend, but I felt really bad. And after that, we didn't see each other again. I know he wouldn't have been good for me, but somehow the question remains if he ever did love me or if that was just sex. Is it strange that I question something that should stay in the past, even though I'm in a happy relationship now? Is this a form of questioning my current relationship? Thanks. I love listening to your podcast, Anonymous.
Thanks, Anonymous.
Thanks, Anonymous.
It sounds like you're just FOMOing a little bit.
Yeah.
About what could have been. What could have been.
Yeah, that and also maybe some feelings of rejection that haven't processed all the way yet.
Mm-hmm.
I only got cheated on one time by a long-term partner. And I know that even after I got in our relationship where I felt very loved and supported and didn't feel like you were ever going to cheat on me, I still like was hurt by the cheating and like just wanted to know like why. Like I was just kind of like still mad about it. Like there was just things unhealed. And I think it just takes time and just like knowing that it wasn't you know, like yeah. There's nothing you could do about it. It doesn't mean anything like to go back and go, oh, he really did love me. Well, does that help you? Does that make you move on?
What does it give you now?
It doesn't give you anything. What if it was like, oh, he didn't love me. He just used me for sex. Okay, you guys are done now. So
yeah,
like,
what kind of love is that either?
Is it just you need to know how to feel about him in retrospect? Like, do you need to know whether to look back on that with love or with hate? Like what exactly are you looking for by continuing to dwell on it?
You gotta self-diagnose this shit a little bit.
Yeah. Or do you still carry a torch for him, you know? I don't know.
Which would be super unhealthy.
That would be super unhealthy and really unfair to your fiance.
He gave you nothing, but he gave you like casual sex.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that she just feels hurt by the rejection of it.
Of course.
You know, she leaves for 6 months, comes back, he has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, and they weren't.
She thought they had a thing, even though it was undefined.
And it was undefined. Yeah. So, but he in 6 months got something defined.
Yeah, and
you
he
know?
Loved the legal loophole that got him out of the mess with the with her.
Yeah, and it was a label. But you know, even with that, he cheated on his girlfriend with you. So, like, you made out with her.
Guy's a
fucking rock star. He doesn't sound like a great guy.
He's a rock star.
So whether or not he loved you doesn't really matter.
He's a stone cold loser.
Yeah.
Like people like that, when they act like that. They act like they are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he's got his own demons to fight, you know, and so whatever. He's not in the same level as you, though. Like he's at a different path of his life. Yeah. So
be thankful that he revealed himself to you so that you were able to move on, frankly.
Exactly. I guess. Yeah. The question. Is this a form of questioning my current relationship? No,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it's just a...
It's like having a dream about your ex.
You're still healing from.
Yeah. It's like having a dream about your ex. It doesn't mean that you're, oh, I miss my ex.
Yeah.
It's like this shit that your body's in turmoil and it has scars and it's trying to purge all this shit out.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
He ever did love me if it was just sex. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Mm. I can't figure out any. I'm trying to think of any possible situation where it would matter.
It's hard.
Maybe, you know, closure, maybe. But I don't think that you'll find closure with the answer to that.
Imagine this. Let's play this out.
Okay.
You tell your partner that you have these thoughts about this person, say. And then you want to go talk to them like at a cafe or something.
Oh, I don't know if that's where this is leading.
No, no. But I'm saying, like, okay, let's say that like this is
hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Okay. You're going to put this relationship that you have like on a burner so that you can maybe ask somebody if they loved you.
Yeah.
They cheated on their person.
I think it might be just you're a hurt ego. Yeah. You have a hurt ego because only your ego wants to know like that they were really loved and that they weren't just tossed away, you know?
Yeah. If you did this to me, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Did we even have then?
It doesn't.
If it's that up in the air for you, what do we even have?
Well, and like, I guess there has to be a good reason, you know?
Right.
If it was like, he stole a bunch of money from you and you want to get it back, yeah, you know, there's like a different reason for that. But yeah, just to know if he loved you or used you, I mean, that's just inconsequential, I guess.
Yeah.
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 So I'm sorry. It probably doesn't help, but time will heal. And with that, we're going on a break. And when we come back, I just saw the titles to some of the other emails, and they are updates on questions and situations that we have already answered. Yay. So we get to find out what happened to those people.
One of them I saw, subject header was, you destroyed my life, all caps.
Stay tuned.
So I'm excited.
Buy whatever we tell you to buy.
Oh, please. Thank you. Sell whatever we tell you to sell.
Oh, yeah. Sell your dreams. Sell your soul. Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to like, thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us. Like,
listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show because it helps out huge amounts.
Like, we're not desperate. We're like kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blake.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
All right. Next question slash, let's do an update. Okay. Moving on to updates.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to back to the questions. I don't know where my English is going. But go to back to questions.
Love
now.
It.
Okay. Here we go. Update. Dating advice, sad face. I don't remember what the original thing was, but hopefully she'll fill us in.
Even better.
Okay. Hi, Nikki and Steve. I sent you guys an email 2 years ago asking for advice on dating. Wow. That's
a
long time ago. Wow, that was pre-pandemic.
3 years?
4 years. Almost 4 years.
Wow.
Almost 4 years. Yeah. I wanted to send this email giving you an update on where I am now. I wanted to thank you for the advice, first and foremost. I don't know if you guys remember the submission I sent and answering it.
You said to break up.
But it really did help me navigate the dating scene over the past 2 years. I also wanted to thank you guys again for hosting such a great show. I've been commuting here and there and everywhere, and you guys are always on. Aw. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
You guys have taught me so much about life and love, specifically about the standard I should have for a relationship, and I don't intend on settling for less.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of relationships, I wanted to give you guys a life update regarding me and my dating. I've done a lot of it. Girl.
Whoa.
I found out my issue wasn't necessarily the fact that I didn't know what to do. It was the fact that I was a lesbian this whole time, and the thought of dating a guy made me anxious to my bones, and I never wanted to do it. Going on dates with girls changed my perception of dating entirely. I am now in a relationship with this amazing girl I've met through Tinder. She makes me the happiest I've ever been, and I never have a dull moment with her. She's so incredibly beautiful, and to know she loves and cares for me just as much as I do for her is such a surreal feeling. We've done so much together in the past 3 months we've known each other, but to think that there's so much more we can do together has me bouncing off the walls in excitement. Despite all of this, I still have a lot of nerves and fears about fucking this up, or that my own feelings aren't genuine. Mm. My therapist and my friends have been telling me that these feelings are normal, and I know that I shouldn't pay these thoughts too much mind since I don't want to turn it into a self-fulfilling prophecy. I know you guys preface every single Q&A with, we're not experts, so take our advice with a grain of salt, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you don't know us, okay?
Please no sue.
Please don't sue us.
Please no sue.
But honestly, let's be real. Y'all really are experts on love, LMAO. So my question is, how does being in love feel like?
It's terrifying. It's terrifying. Yeah. I'll be completely honest with you right now. Yeah. It's completely fucking terrifying because this person holds your life in their hands sometimes. So that's how it feels.
Sometimes I cry at the thought of what if anything ever happened to him.
I do it all the time with you. I do it when I say bye to you. I do it when I say bye to you, and then you say be careful, and then I'm on extra edge.
I know.
I just do it.
I think about that when you leave, because I'm like, anything could happen out there, especially when we watch movies and like something always happens to the love interest or like, you know, some sad backstory.
This is the most normal feeling ever, actually, when you find your person. I promise you.
Yeah,
congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, congrats. Wait, hold on.
Welcome to the horrifying feeling of being in love with somebody.
Exactly. Because first you're kind of nervous that you're going to fuck it up. Then you're nervous that they're going to fuck it up. Like, what if they, you know, cheat on you or get sick of you or whatever? Or they start being like toxic. And then once you realize, oh no, like this is real, real, real. Like,
you're just like, please no sue, please no die. Please no die.
I would rather have you sue me than have you die.
Well, same, but I just don't want either.
Yeah, I don't want either. No. It's not, neither one are fun.
No. But yeah, you start to really worry about your own mortality and about theirs. And you're just like, man, I just love her so much. I hope I get to see her every time that I'm alive.
When you've been together for so long too, and feeling this way so long, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger each year, it's like the higher the stakes are. It's like, we just keep upping the stakes. It doesn't dim. It just keeps getting up. It just keeps getting scarier, to be honest.
It's like we're climbing a wall every year. We get higher and higher. And we could fall and that's it.
Yeah.
But I really do. And I tell Nikki this all the time. I hope I find you every time. I hope I find you every time I'm back on this earth.
I think we have.
I think we have too. But that's what I mean. Like, it's just that crazy where you just love that person so much. And there's such a fear of loss. Like all the songs say, right?
When
you love somebody so much, like, that you're putting yourself out there the most. But God damn, I'll take this every time.
Yeah, there's that saying, I'd rather have loved and lost than never have loved at all.
Exactly.
It's very true. It's such elated feelings. Like, everything is so heightened, and it's like it's the highest of highs and like the depth of your soul. Like, it's just, there's nothing else like it. And you can think you've been in love before, and then when you actually experience real love, you're like, holy shit. You know, they say the movies are fake, but it actually, like,
your soul sings
every
day.
It's actually real.
Me and Nikki had a finger gun.
You find the right person.
We had a finger gun war today when I first woke up, and I'm like,
that's not about fingering, by the way. I hate fingering.
Well, she fingers me, but not her. We don't finger her.
But not me.
So yeah, but no, we had a
his hole's not mine.
My hole's not hers.
Yeah,
but we had a finger.
We do this sometimes.
We do finger gun wars.
Well, it's not really guns like you would think of, like. It's like, it's with our middle fingers.
It's with our middle fingers.
And we flip each other off, and we try to hide from each other's middle fingers.
Yeah.
And we hide around
the
corners.
The middle fingers can hurt you, obviously.
They can hurt. Yeah, they hurt.
So you have to get down. You have to crawl.
And then I machine gunned him with
she
some.
She got me good today.
Yeah.
I almost fell down the stairs. She got me so good. with both of her middle
usually
fingers.
Usually try to be very stealth and like. No, snipery, but
no, she was like, it was CQC today. It was close quarters combat. So
yeah, I was trying new tactics.
I fucked up. I should have stayed long range, but I didn't. And
he cornered himself.
I learned.
Yeah.
I learned from it.
So that's the shit that.
But that's what I mean. But when we hug at the end of it, I'm always like, man, this person's my soulmate.
This is
like,
my person.
The only person who would laugh at this as hard as I laugh at this is this stupid
it's
idiot.
It's like you get each other. You're co-conspirators, basically.
Yes.
I've never heard it described better than when an older married couple described it as being co-conspirators, like, because I was asking them, like, hey, you guys have like a real love, like you can feel it, I can tell, like, you guys love each other like we love each other, and they're much older and they have kids, and I was like, what did anything change when you guys had kids? Because I'm scared of that, you know. That's another thing I'm scared
so,
of
so
you know
scared
does
of
does anything change when you like does that interrupt
you
like,
know the number one reason we haven't
good?
Had kids yet it's that
because I'm scared that it's gonna ruin something that's perfect. That's so good. Yeah. And he goes, no, it changes things, but it just widens your base. So this like crazy love that you guys feel with each other, it just gets wider. So then you have your kid and and you're the highest of highs gets higher, the lowest of lows gets lower, everything just gets wider. And the cool thing is that you and your partner become co-conspirators, where like you you kind of like see things that no one else sees, like maybe not even your kids see. When you're in a room with other parents, you're just kind of like,
that's just how these people are already,
it is, yeah. And he's that's exactly how it feels.
That's funny.
Anyway, she has other things though.
Oh, okay.
So she goes, I feel like I'm in it, but there's this little thought in the back of my head telling myself, what if you're lying to her and yourself? What if you're an imposter and you're lying every time you say I love you? What the hell could you possibly know about love? I don't think I'm lying, but it's my first relationship and I'm so scared that telling her I love her might not be true. The last thing I want is for me to figure out that I'm lying to myself and I end up realizing it down the line and hurting her. It kills me thinking that this might be the case. So I guess I'm asking, what do you guys feel and experience in your life? Okay, we just went over that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to telling her you love her, just say it.
Fuck,
because
yeah,
maybe you're wrong, but like, so people are wrong sometimes, and like you'll have to, you know, down the road you can deal with that, but you can't plan. You're basically like saying you don't want to become a self-fulfilling prophecy, but you can't plan for the worst, otherwise you'll receive the worst. And it sounds like you kind of do that. Like
in life, we're all hypocrites. I have told women that I love them that I now look back and I go, oh, I didn't.
Yeah,
but I didn't know.
But
at
you
the
didn't
time.
Know.
I just got my best intentions, and I was like, I really do think this, and I'm just gonna
yeah. It's
say
about
it.
Your intentions.
Yeah.
And also, I think you'd regret not telling her.
Hell yeah.
This person obviously has changed your life for the better, and like you've experienced feelings that you've never felt before. So I think it's the correct assessment to, at this stage, even if it's, you know, like, don't worry about if it's real love or not. Like, you feel something. So
if you didn't put yourself out there, you'd always regret it.
Absolutely.
That's what you need to remember. And I'm proud of you for doing that, by the way. You're putting yourself out there, and now, and you're telling us in the post haste, like, hey, should I put myself out there so much? I'm actually really proud of you just for putting yourself out there this much.
For
like,
sure.
Good job.
And
seriously.
Figuring that out too.
Yeah.
That,
especially
like, oh,
because
shit.
You didn't even know that you're a lesbian. Like,
yeah.
So like you're just,
it's amazing.
You're dunking all kinds, and then you're like, oh, am I dunking too hard? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. You're killing it.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
And this is not, there's no manual for love. Like there's just, you trial and error. You might fall on your face. Okay. Now you learned. But
there's a Shania,
it's worth it.
There's a Shania Twain song that's so perfect for this. And she says, like, you go, girl.
Does she?
Yeah. Yeah. She says, you go, girl.
I don't remember.
It's a very famous
I didn't listen
song.
To Shania Twain.
So that, you know.
Okay. Additionally, I have another quick question. Do either of you experience a twinge of jealousy when the other talks about their previous sexual partners / relationships? I do. And I usually shoot those insecurities down with the sole knowledge that she's chosen me. But those feelings still arise and I still feel guilty for having them in the first place. If you guys don't really experience that pinch of jealousy, do you guys happen to know if there's anything I could do to make that initial feeling go away? I hate it so much and I feel so silly since there's no real reason for me to be jealous in the first place. But yeah, that's my dating life update. And those are my questions. I'm so sorry this is so long. If you guys end up reading through this and picking it out, thanks so much for sparing me the time of day. I love you guys so much. Keep up the amazing work with your podcast, and I hope you both and Nate have a great day. Love always, Sophia. Aw, Sophia.
We love you so much. Please cut the Nate part, Mark. Thank you very much.
Oh, she has a follow-up and she says, P.S. I was listening to your most recent podcast and just realized that Steve talks to Mark and not Nate. Either way, at both Mark and Nate, you guys are super appreciated.
We'll cut the Nate part, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah, cut the Nate part. We don't want him to have any credit. We can't have him getting any compliments or shout outs or anything
right to
like
his head
this.
Every time.
The jealousy thing.
Okay, so I can't listen to Big Mood. I don't listen to Big Mood. I will not even be on set for Big Mood.
You guys should listen to Big Mood, though.
Please don't listen to Big Mood. It's a chief competitor. No, but only if you guys are talking about like ex-partner stuff. Only because...
Yeah.
Not out of jealousy, blah, 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 blah. I'm just a visual person. So if somebody starts saying something, I have to visualize it. Because like that's how I roll, and then that's rough for me, and that's all, that's it.
I think maybe in the beginning, but I literally can't picture you with anyone else now. Like,
same.
I can't even like when I try to picture you, like if you talk about, oh, like you had sex with so-and-so and you even dropped their name.
Yeah,
like,
they're famous.
I can't picture you with another person. Like I just visually, like it is a blurry blob that you're with. Like it's not. And I feel
somewhere,
no feelings.
There's no,
it's not visceral for me, but maybe in the beginning for sure, because it's so new. And like, you wonder, does that person still recount their memories of having sex with the other person so vividly? Like, do they remember it? Like, do they think about it? You know, like, I think that, yeah, it's not that I felt jealous. I just felt like I wanted those experiences to not have existed.
Same.
Yeah.
Could not agree more. In a way, it's weird and it's so fucking corny. I'm so sorry, everybody, but it feels like you're the first person I actually ever made love to, ever.
Absolutely.
And so it's just a different thing. It's on a different level anyway, so it really doesn't matter that it's happened before.
I've never had that with anyone else.
Same. And so it's sort of irrelevant, but it is relevant only when I hear you talking about other people. And by the way, you have to. It's part of your job, like relating to people and talking about your own stories. I love it. There's no part of me that wants to ban her from talking about anything. It's just about, you know, putting myself in the best situation to succeed. It's just discomforting for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a visual person. When I hear those things, I just visualize it real quick. I'm like, I don't want to fucking think about that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me. I'm glad that you can put yourself out there. I'm glad that you can tell people the truth. I've never one time in our entire lives told Nikki, don't tell anyone that you've had sex with other people or anything.
What's a tip for her? Because she's like, are there any tips for not feeling that way?
Just know yourself. Yeah. Know what you, so like, I know that if I listen to Big Mood when you guys are talking about older relationship stuff,
yeah,
I'm just not going to listen to that.
So maybe tell your partner like, hey, I love you and I, or you guys haven't said I love you yet. You should say that first.
Yeah,
but then, like, okay, hey, you know, like I care about you and you're my number one. Like I'm not going to put you down. Like I'm not judge anything that you've done ever, but it's just hard for me to hear you talk about being with other people just because I picture it. And then it's hard to get that feeling out of my body. Just like tell her directly, like, it just makes me uncomfortable. You know, just don't talk about it. You can have your experiences. I'm not trying to erase them from you, but just don't, not talking about it in front of me?
One of my all-time favorite quotes is also a personal mantra for me. And it's from Clint Eastwood. He says, sometimes a man's got to know his limitations. And I just...
You sure Shania Twain didn't say that?
I don't think Shania said it, but I will look it up after.
Okay.
But I really do believe that when you know yourself enough to know like, hey, this is good for me, this is bad for me, then it's easy to navigate life, or it's easier to navigate life because you're like, hey, look, don't do that. Like, I'm not going to be there for it. You can do it, but I'm just not going to be there for it.
Mm.
Or like whatever it is, you just know your own limitations and you're the expert of yourself. You're the person who can set your limitations better than anybody. So as long as you can do that and communicate that effectively, then you really won't build resentment with anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not placing any restrictions or boundaries on her. You're just telling her like, hey, it just makes me uncomfortable. So do you mind just not talking about it in front of me?
Right.
You know, there's certain topics that I'm like with Steve, I'm like, hey, talk to your brother about that instead of me. Like, because it's about a subject that I don't know about enough and like I don't care about, and it causes me like icky anxiety. Feelings. Yeah, it gives me anxiety to like have to delve into. And so it's just communication. I think you're killing it though. You got this.
You're doing so good.
You're
oh
doing
my God.
So good.
You're
and we're so
ahead
proud
of the pack,
of you.
I promise you.
2 years ago. Wow.
Good job.
What progress you've made.
Way to go.
Congrats. We love you, Sophia. Okay, this is a question, and the topic is, can I choose to be a modern spinster? Nikki, please change my name for
spinster is your name.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. Okay, spinster. Just listened to your February 6th, 2020 episode and was taken aback by your story about breaking up with a past boyfriend and moving into a studio apartment all by yourself. I feel like you told my story. I was living in LA with my boyfriend and our relationship was going nowhere, unfortunately. For many reasons I don't want to get into, it just wasn't working, including feeling like a mother figure in the relationship and even the event coordinator to our social life. And our intimacy was always rocky and it eventually went to nothing. Okay, I guess I did kind of just get into it. I broke up with him and moved into my own studio elsewhere in LA, which marked my first time living by myself. I had just started my career and had no furniture to speak of. Flash forward 3 years later, I have a fully furnished apartment, friends all around LA, and my career is so solid. I feel like I can breathe again too. I'm listening to my old music that I sidelined in my old relationship, and I'm embracing old and new hobbies. I really appreciate your story and hope you find mine relatable too. For sure, this sounds exactly like what happened. Where we differ is that you seem to have found the one and are now happily married. That's true. For me, any guy that has been interested in me has been completely not my type, and any guy I had been interested in has led me on and then eventually told me they don't have feelings for me. A couple of years ago, I had strong feelings for someone who reciprocated and then redacted months later before we could even date. Then someone else seemed interested, did cute things like send me coffee in the morning during a pandemic, and then told me, sorry if that was flirty, but I'm with someone. Oh, gosh.
Wait, the fuck what?
Wait, oh, so he sent you coffee and then was like, oh, oops, I didn't mean that to be a flirty thing. I'm with someone.
Who does that?
Don't do that.
That's bullshit.
Don't do that.
That's bullshit.
Those last couple encounters were very traumatic for some reason I can't explain. Like,
you get led on big
abnormally
time.
Traumatic. Like, I felt some emotional twig in my brain snap, and my subconscious said, never again.
Nah.
Now I can't even think about dating without tearing up a little. It's weird to feel like your life is so good when one aspect, dating and relationships, is so broken. But I just hide this from my friends, and they never ask either. I think my friends see me as a put-together person who will date when she decides to. I don't think they even know how vulnerable and broken I am to even approach dating. The first episode of your podcast I ever listened to actually was one on home buying. I've become hyper fixated on financial independence and carving out my own solitary future. Good for you. To quote Shania Twain, you go, girl. I also want to pursue.
What song is that?
I don't remember, but I'll look it up later.
Thank you.
It's definitely Shania Twain, though.
Thank you.
I also want to pursue adopting in the future, maybe the next 5 to 10 years. I'm currently 29. The point is, I feel like I'm closing the door on love and preparing for a life without ever opening my heart again.
Yep.
My heart is so broken and hurt. I'm wiping tears typing this. Aw. Oh, and babe. I haven't cried about this in months. Even this simple virtual profession is evoking emotion I almost forgot I had. I tell myself I perhaps need to seek therapy for fear of intimacy, dejected hopelessness of the pursuit of love, and a fundamental and likely misandrist belief that no man will step up to make this commitment with me. You sound like my friend Jess, actually.
A lot like her.
Yes. I feel like they don't even want me nor see me as attractive or someone worthy of spending their time with. I live with this weird internal dichotomy of self where on one end, I'm a great friend and daughter, and I even like my own sense of style, fashion, etc. But when it comes to dating, I don't feel desirable or worthy. I think I should mention I grew up as an overweight kid, and that shit never goes away. Memories of bullying, not getting picks for sports, not ever getting asked to dance, the cliched usual stuff. I'm not overweight anymore, but my childhood and the last string of rejections have amalgamated into one giant disgusting monster that screams in my head, no man wants you, and then goes, ah. Oh, and then I go, ah. I'm ready to give into this monster completely and embrace my life of solitude and things that feel real, like a house and adoption. How crazy are my feelings? Do you know anyone who has given up on love and been happy? If you get this far in the email, thank you so much for reading, because I haven't put these thoughts into words really ever. Your podcast created an outlet for that. So I'll also turn this back on you, Nikki and Steve, and say you've created something quite amazing. Sincerely, Spinster.
Oh, we love you, Spinster.
That was really heartfelt. Sincerely, thank you so much.
It was really beautifully put.
That's so vulnerable.
You're very defensive right now for good reason. Your soft spots have been hit.
Yeah.
Like direct fire. And so you're trying to play defense so that you don't get hurt again. We get that.
If you do listen to Big Mood, I think you would highly relate to a Jessica Caldwell.
Yes.
This is her. Exactly.
Yes.
You have so much love in you.
Yes.
God, and you know your self-worth because you've built this. Like, as you were saying, you have a career now and a fully furnished apartment, and you did it all by yourself, and you have a great network of friends, and your social life is booming, and you love it. And so you have a really good sense of yourself and your self-worth, but then it seems like no one is reflecting that back to you, which makes you feel a little insecure, like maybe I'm not as dope as I think I am. And
which is the bullshit part of this.
Exactly. It's the bullshit. But instead of kind of like facing that monster, like, yeah, that's the part that you probably need to work through.
Here's where you're missing.
You're like, wait, hold on. Yeah. You're instead of facing that, you are like, you know what? No, I'm going to go even harder. I'm going to buy a house and I'm going to get this. And these are tangible things. And that proves to everyone that I'm worth something. It's like you're overcompensating for this lack of love, that hole that needs to be filled. And not just someone in your heart.
So good, so true.
Anyway, and so you are making up for it by proving to yourself that you're a worthy person. And I admire your goals, but you don't need this to feel like, to prove that you're a worthy person. It's a separate thing. They're very separate. Go ahead.
It's time to give yourself some credit for what you've done. It's time to update the software in your own head about yourself, because you're overly compensating. And it's time to just go, you know what? I do love me, and I am worthy of love, actually.
Yeah.
Which is what you're not doing right now. You're not worthy of love right now. You're actually closing the door on love. And you even know you are. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
And sometimes disheartening,
it's self-destructive.
People can sense that. So yeah. You go on a date, they sense that. And then you go, see, no one fucking loves me. Yeah. And then it's like a cycle.
Prophecy.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's a cycle that keeps continuing, a self-perpetuating cycle. And this is kind of what I feel like happens to my friend, because she, you know, uses this as confirmation proof that like the dating scene is just messed up and it just sucks. Yeah. And they're just like, and she's better off being alone for the rest of her life. And listen, I think the mentality of being self-sufficient is great, but not in this resentful way that you're like, well, I'm going to block everyone off and I don't need to date. I don't need any love. I just have my friends and my career and my house and that's it. And I don't need that. And so you block it off so hard that you will never attract that. I think a healthier route to go. And this is kind of, I feel like the where Steve and I, the mental state that we were in when we started dating was we were like, yo, I don't have to date the rest of my life. I put a lot of time into love and love hurt me really bad. And I'm going to focus on my career and all these other things. But if I do date, I'm going to know that it's like I'm the one giving the interview. I'm the one hiring. I know what I'm putting on the table. And if they like it, and I'm talking about like the most authentic me, if they like that and I like what they're putting on the table, then it could work. But if not, I'm not interested at all in chasing. But we got to make sure that you're not doing is being like superior to them. Like when, like, yeah, if, you know, automatically going in the mindset of like, we'll see if this person has the chops. Like, don't do that. Just go in with the mindset of like, we're just going to have fun. Okay. I know what I'm bringing. I'm fucking dope. I'm so tight. I got all the shit going on and my life is great. If anyone can make it better, awesome. But if not, that's cool. I'm glad that we got a chance to meet, you know, or whatever.
But she hasn't done that, right? So and that's what I think from what I heard. I'm hearing that she is almost just putting up walls of defenses.
Yeah.
Instead of taking credit for the things that she's done. She's built a castle and like it's beautiful already. Mm-hmm. But she's like, I need walls now and I need a tower. I need archers.
I need moat.
Right. And we're like, no, you don't. You didn't. It's beautiful. You did a good job. Yeah. Looks really good. But she's not updating it for herself and going, yeah, you know what? I am worthy of somebody actually. See, that's what it's about. She feels like she has, you know, no use for somebody right now because she feels like they're not, she won't be worthy for them.
Yeah. I also feel like it's okay. I achieved all this. So now what? Like now the only emptiness is not having a partner. And
you still wonder you wouldn't be writing.
And then you're like, okay, well, maybe I don't fucking need that. So yeah. I'll just build my castle higher, you know?
Yeah, you need it.
But you need something to work on. So that's why you're doing that. But I highly recommend seeing a therapist. I know you mentioned that in your email, but I really, really like find the right one. But it's definitely something you need to heal. This defensive part of you that is going to see people as being like you're looking at
obstacles.
Potential dating partners as being able to like declare whether or not you're worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a way to look at them. So I don't know how to like really shift that for you, but you have to know how worthy you are. Like you just have to know it. And I think a therapist could give you the right tools to like
God, yes.
really like remind yourself every day and that your life is great. And if someone can make it better, then that's what you're looking for.
And that's what you have to ask yourself. What do you want someone in your life for? You wouldn't be writing us if you didn't want someone in your life. We know that you do. You think about it a lot, obviously.
Yeah. Like what qualities would this guy have?
Yeah. And give yourself that. You have to actually say out loud, I do want somebody. And then, you know, like Nikki said, maybe go into therapy so you can help break yourself loose to be open for somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Because it needs to be open there. Not that you're not needy for it, not desperate for it, but just open.
That's all you got to be.
Yeah.
That's all you got
to
be.
The door just has to be open. You don't need a banner outside. You don't need a billboard.
Nope.
You're not
desperate.
You just need the door to be open. So. Good luck.
Good luck.
Honestly, and if you don't find it, don't settle. I don't think you should settle, but just be open. Yeah.
Find a rich guy and marry him.
Base it solely on how much wealth this person has. That's it's a business think. Decision.
Just in closing, just to make it real simple. There you go.
Send nudes to a guy in exchange for homework. How much time do we have? Okay.
We have time for that.
Okay.
We have an update. Listen, we'll do both. Go.
Okay. Do you want the update first or you want the nudes?
I want the nudes.
Okay. Sent nudes to a guy in exchange for homework. Am I now used goods? Okay, I'm love sorry it. To laugh at that. Okay.
Hey, it's just out of nowhere. Go ahead.
Hey, Nikki and Steve. Love the podcast and here for the vibe. I would love to be kept anonymous. You got it.
You bet.
So we'll just call you Nudie.
We'll call you Nudes for homework.
We'll call you Hey Nudes.
I like it.
There's a guy who went to my high school that I recently reconnected with. We are in college now. We started talking in a very friendly way, and I didn't think he wanted nudes or sex. But after a while of talking, we agreed to a friends with benefits relationship because he really wanted it. I was kind of unsure, but I agreed to it anyway. A couple nights ago, he really wanted me to send him nudes. I trolled him for a really long time by sending him pics of my feet or sending drawings of boobs. For the most part, I just ignored his messages. He was very persistent and said he would do literally anything in exchange for my nudes. I asked if he would write some essays for one of my college classes, and he agreed. But now I find myself feeling guilty for having agreed to this. He also offered to buy me food. I told one of my friends about the situation, and he thinks it's fine because it was a mutual agreement. He gets his nudes, I get my homework done, and we are both consenting adults. But I can't help but feel gross about it. I feel as though if I were to get into a relationship in the future, I would be heavily judged for this. I was super desperate for help on my homework because I really need to pass college and get a degree since I'm both broke and struggling in my classes. But that leads me to ask you guys, would this be a deal breaker for you if a person you were dating had in the past basically prostituted themselves in order to graduate or get basic necessities?
You didn't basically prostitute yourself.
What are
y'all's
opinion on this whole situation? What? Love you both. Anonymous.
You did not prostitute yourself at all whatsoever.
No, this
anybody
was
that judgy can go to fucking Bible school. Give me a break.
No, I wouldn't judge someone for sending nudes in exchange for getting the homework done. But to be honest, if Steve told me that happened, I would more so judge him on that. How come he couldn't pass his classes? Yeah. And I'm not judging you for that. I'm just saying that would be a question mark. I would, more so than the like, why'd you send nudes?
I know I got a cute dick. I don't, you know.
He's got a very cute dick. I don't have to question that.
It's a
like,
cutie.
I'm like, well, I'm surprised you didn't like show your dick more for money. Okay. Like people
it's
would
cute.
Pay for that.
I get it.
But I would definitely have to ask like what was going on in your life that you couldn't study for your classes that you were struggling so much with your classes. That would be a question.
That would be a worthy question.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, the...
Because like, let's say he's a doctor now and I'm like, do you know what you're doing? Like, what is...
Yeah.
How did you... I mean, this guy wrote your essays.
Yeah, that would be wild. But the real thing going on here is you're just afraid of other people's judgment, which is fine.
Yeah, and those are your own judgments that you're projecting
onto
yourself.
Yeah, it's not about...
Yeah.
What other people actually think. You haven't even talked to them. You're talking to us right now. We don't care.
Yeah, I don't care at all. But you're saying
you didn't
that
prostitute well,
you're
yourself
basically
either. Holy shit.
Well, you're basically saying is those are your views on yourself after this transaction. And that's how you're thinking about yourself. And in that case, I suggest, I don't know if this has happened already. It says like, it it's happened. Okay, it's happened already. So if this has happened already, just you need to reconcile that with yourself.
Yes.
Like that you are not a bad person
you're
for sending
prostitute.
Nudes. You're not a used goods. You're not lower than anybody. People send nudes all the time for free. Like no essays involved.
Look, you
like,
got, it
you
going,
got some shit for
you,
that.
You got it going on so hard. Somebody wanted to write a fucking dissertation for that
and
shit.
And it wasn't money. It was just like, it's just.
It's flirty
and even
shit.
If it was money, like sex work is legitimate. Okay.
Exactly.
So no, I don't know. It never. That would not be unless you're dating some like hardcore religious person. Like I don't think that would be a deal breaker for anyone in the modern world.
Completely unfair. It's such unfair bullshit.
If I was a guy dating you though, I'd be like, do I get nudes? I'll write you an essay.
Hell yeah. I'd be like, can I write like a couple sentences? Can I write you just a fucking Hallmark card because I'm dating you?
Yeah. Although I would say don't let anyone hang that over your head. Like, don't like let
ever.
Anyone pressure you to like send news like, well, we sent it to that one guy that sent you essays.
Never.
Also, you don't have to share this with anyone. You really don't have to. It's
you really don't.
It's your private life. Like, so you really don't have to share it if you don't feel comfortable. But if you are like opening up about your past or you guys are both sharing stuff, like, no, I think if a guy loves you and it's really the person you're supposed to be with, he's not going to see that and think that you're trash for
that.
If
I had to tell Nikki all the people that I sent dick pics to,
that'd be too long of a list.
You know what I'm saying? Like literally, we could. It would be insane.
Oh, but seriously, how come I haven't gotten one? It's
oh,
cute.
I sent
you have a cute dick.
I sent you one.
You did?
But it's encrypted.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and you have to show tits to open
dick?
The file.
Aww.
You just send tits.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
and ass.
I don't think that the encrypted file will know if it's my tits.
It will.
No.
Yep. Remember that mold I had you make?
Oh my God.
See?
Yeah, I remember.
See?
That's why you asked for that.
See?
Thought it was weird.
She didn't ask any questions.
I had to go to a whole place to get the plaster done. It took hours.
New Mexico.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good for you. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Good for you.
No one's judging you for that.
Get your fucking essays written, girl.
Even if you had sex for an essay, I just don't think I would judge you for that.
No.
I can't think of any.
Because you wanted to have sex. Ultimately, you didn't do it for the essay. You wanted to have sex too.
It was consensual nude sending. And exactly. It was a consensual transaction, just like your friend said. I think you're just judging yourself. So you just have to reconcile that with yourself. Yeah, yeah, you just have to tell yourself, like, remind yourself, like, that does not define who you are.
That moment does not define who you are. Your mom or your dad or whoever in your head, and they're telling you prostituted yourself, and you really didn't. So you're fine.
I will say, though, I had a dream, and I have not forgotten this dream. It was like over a year ago, but I had a dream that I was giving a blowjob and the person was taking video footage of it. And I was thinking in my head, like, oh no, this is bad, because if this ever gets out, like, they have this, they could blackmail me forever.
I want that.
And
I want the footage.
And then like after I woke up, I felt this like grossness of like, of feeling like someone could blackmail me.
Oh, that's,
like,
that's,
you know, of
yeah.
this, like, forever this person
right.
has the
that's,
power
oh, that makes sense.
To like put that online.
Right.
Because I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, but I have never sent any nudes in my life. I've never videotaped myself. And that's not because I think it's morally wrong. It's just because I'm so scared of leaks out of my control happening. And that's the only reason.
And there's a lot of definitions and all stuff going on. But just to help you say what you're trying to say, Nikki's a confirmed bitch.
I'm a bitch.
She's
no.
a big time bitch.
No, like, because we had an episode of Big Mood where we were debating whether or not nudes were okay to send. And I was firmly on the side of yes. Like, you can, you're
yeah,
allowed to send them, like, send those nudes. Because, like, a lot of people
choice.
Connect that way. But I am such a paranoid. I can't get tattoos. Anything that's permanent, like anything that could be permanent, I get really, like, freaked out about. But even that being said, if that situation had happened to me, I would still have to find a way to forgive myself and like to not make that a cringy, embarrassing like thing that hangs over my head forever. And like I mentioned in another person's question, like there's the body keeps the score. So this is something that you're holding on to in here that's going to hang over you like a cloud, and you're going to feel like you're used goods, and you're going to project subconsciously that you're used goods to the next person that you're with. And so the sooner you can just eliminate this and heal and get through that, the better and more healthy you will be.
Exactly.
So I wish you the best. And I'm sure those nudes are hot.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay. One update and then we're done. Okay. The update, because I'm really curious. This is update German village Christmas breakup. I vaguely remember this. Yeah. Hey guys, a few months back, you answered an email I sent about my ex German villager who broke up with me at Christmas. Listening to your answer made me so happy, and man, did I need it at the time. It's been 6 months now and I feel better than I have in a long time. I'm still working on the logistics of moving back to the UK as the pandemic persists, but I'm staying optimistic. Anyway, I'm over my ex now and I have a new man in my life, sort of. I met someone while on holiday, and we're really, holiday is like vacation for people.
Yeah, the Brits.
The Brits, yeah. We really hit it off. The time we spent together was so fun and sweet and romantic, and we have so much in common. Problem is, he lives on the other side of the planet. My ex was from Germany. This guy is from another hemisphere. The next one will probably be from Mars. I'm back now. I'm back home now, and he's still in Europe visiting family, but he's trying to move flights around so he can come visit me before he goes back to his home country. Fingers crossed. My question is, how much attention is enough at the beginning of a courtship? In my previous relationship, we talked nonstop from day one and didn't do more than a couple hours without speaking. I'm used to constant contact and attention. That relationship was super codependent, though, so I don't really have a good idea of what a normal amount of communication is anymore. I need a texting and calling reality check. We do talk most days, and he'll send me updates throughout his travels, but it's always pretty short and more small talk than anything, so I don't feel like I'm getting my emotional connection needs met, which is a shame since I know how good our conversations were face-to-face. I do know that he's busy and spending time with family, though, so try not to freak out too much. Would love to know what you think. Have a lovely day, and keep up the great work. Love you. All right. First of all, congrats on being over your ex.
Yep.
Second of all, I think the second part is really personal for and based on your love language. Because if your love language and the way that you feel loved is through either physical connection or quality time, Then I don't think you're gonna feel loved.
No.
In this relationship,
or like, especially in a long distance one.
For me, I couldn't do it. Those two are too strong for me. And in the beginning of a relationship, it would be too painful. I couldn't handle it personally. However, if your love language is gifts or acts of service, those could be done long distance, and you can still feel loved over a long distance from that. And so maybe it does work for you. I know, like, our friends Tim and Chia, they were in a long distance relationship for like 7 years or 8 years or something like that. And then they didn't even move in together, and they didn't even stop being long distance until they got married. And she was in Canada and he was in the United States, and they were across country from each other. And now they're married. They have a kid. They've been married for a few years now, and they've never been happier. Like, they've been together for almost a decade. So they did it and they're happy. I just don't know if I could do it and be happy.
Let me address your energy as well. Okay. Oddly enough, okay, I can tell that you're very excited about this situation going on. So it almost doesn't matter what we say right now. You're very excited.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to take from that.
That's true.
I really don't want to take from that. I want you to be able to, you're the expert here on you. So you tell us how happy you are, right? I mean, I assume it's been like a couple of weeks since you emailed us. How are you doing now, I wonder? Like, have they met your needs? Like, how are you doing, like, today as opposed to when you wrote us?
Mm-hmm.
You can answer that better than we can. And I don't want to take away from your excitement at all, because I can tell you're very, very, very stoked on this. So yeah, just actually ask yourself how you're doing right now as opposed to when you emailed us. And maybe that'll help you navigate, you know, how you are in this with this person.
I mean, it already sounds like you wish that you were having more meaningful phone calls.
Right.
More frequent texts.
Since then, or less, or is it the same?
Yeah,
you have to assess this for yourself, because we really can't.
And I don't think, I don't think any answer is wrong. Like, I don't think you need a text calling reality check.
No,
makes you feel supported and loved is like, that's the right answer.
When me and Nikki were first getting together, it was constant.
Yeah,
it was constant, and
I feel like something was wrong if.
Same.
We didn't.
And we both had that same love language of just like, hey, I just want you to know you're my number one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only thinking about you.
One time he hurt me really bad on accident because we were texting and he was supposed to come over. And I made him dinner and he fell asleep and I couldn't get a hold of him. And I was freaking the fuck out and I cried all night. And
oh, that's so brutal.
It was really heartbreaking because I was so uncharacteristic, and
I feel bad to this day about that. Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. It was just one of those things where I didn't really sleep much the night before, and then I got home from the shoot I was on, and I just fucking bombed out.
Yeah.
But
the last thing he told me was he's on his way. So imagine, like, there's thousands of things running through my head. One, was he on his way?
Yeah.
And then something happened?
Yeah.
Two, was he not on his way and he just lied to me? Three, did something happen that prevented him from being on his way? I'm just like, so many things.
Well, now she's lived with me, so, like, she knows I can fall asleep anywhere.
Or am I sad?
Yeah.
And I got to be mad, luckily, because nothing happened to him. So I got to be mad.
Yeah. But now that you've been with me, you're like, falling asleep is kind of a fucking thing.
Yeah, but the principle that hopefully you learned from is like, don't tell me you're on your way if you're not on your way.
Correct.
Don't just say it when you're on your way.
I know.
Jerk.
Well, I was just laying down and then, I was just like, oh yeah, I'm on my way. And then
when people say they're on their way and they haven't left yet.
And I was horrified. I saw all of your calls and stuff. And I was like, God damn it.
Piece of shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope that helps. Ultimately, your internal compass has to decide. And the more you can get in tune with that, the better. So start getting in tune with yourself, everybody.
Hey, nice. We're talking about masturbation.
That's what Shania Twain said.
She says
start getting in tune with yourself, everybody.
I don't think I heard that album.
That's just the way it is. Is that?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. I tried. Sorry, Shania. What's the one where she has the hood, the scarf thing on?
The You Go Girl one, but yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. I just know it's in a fucking commercial. What's she saying? It's in a commercial.
Don't impress me much. Yeah,
that's. You always have the You Go Girl part, and I'm always like, oh, man,
it doesn't impress her much.
Nothing does.
Don't impress me much.
Dude, even she says, like, hey, Brad Pitt, but, like, fuck off. Even that song, she's like, hey, Brad Pitt, go fuck off, actually. No. And I'm like, what the?
You don't impress me much.
And that was like, she did that song like 12 Monkeys Brad Pitt, like fucking Meet Joe Black Brad Pitt.
Like, that's actually like the last girl that wrote in where she was like wanting to be a spinster. It's like every person, she's like, no, you don't impress me much because I need my walls to be up.
Yeah, you got it going on, but do you really have the touch?
I don't know.
That's what she says. And Nikki does. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got this.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for writing. If you have a question, you can email us podcast@nikki.limo. We check our email from time to time and we do our best. So thank you for listening and hope that helped. And we love you.
And check out our Patreon.
Patreon.com/sticky. And check out my jewelry. I have new jewelry. I started a jewelry line. Did I tell you guys that? Anyway,
we waited to the end for that.
Instagram.com/kittensandcoffee. Kits and cough.
It's beautiful. We love it.
Anyway, we love you. Okay, bye. Love you, bye.